tonight, Lord Jesus, without you, we can do nothing. I'm asking, Father, that you would just bring the reality of your word to what is important for these people that you have brought for this opening of the feast. Father, these days of awe that you declared would be days of actual surprises. And surprises come, as we learned 6 years ago, from a shock point of view and revelatory in nature. But they don't always come with a joyful awe. They come with, God, what are you doing? This afternoon I was pressed to, I had a recollection when I was watching the 700 Club this morning for a few moments. If anybody was listening to the news, the stock market went down 777 points yesterday. Well, seven has value. And as I had had a nudge before to go back, but I didn't. But today I did, because there was a real strong urgency to go back and look at a dream that I had. And in the dream, I am buying something in a store, and I'm told that there's a game that's available, and they're trying to sell it to me, and it's called the Enron game. So I didn't see that dream as prophetic until I listened to the president, of course, and all these wonderful salespeople that want to try to make us survive what's going on, and I'm sure that the Lord has got his hand on it. But I had disconnected the dream. And in my finished lines of the dream, the closing part of it, I'm giving back my money, and the money is $20. How many know what number 20 means? Don't know? I was going to give them $20, but they gave me back the $20. 20 means redemption. And of course, this morning, this number 7s means completeness, perfection, or bringing to an end. So it went down, and this afternoon it went back up 300 and whatever. I don't know what it closed at. That's not important. What I believe is important is God was speaking to me. Okay? Don't get bent out of shape over this stuff. Your kingdom is my kingdom. It's not the kingdoms of this world that are shaking you and should not shake you. So I said, well, okay, Lord, I'm going to rest with it. But I did recall the days of awe of 6 years ago. And those days of awe were not what I would have expected the days of awe to be. Okay? Now, last week, I was into a store, and I saw this particular little candle holder. And it came back into my heart several times because I didn't buy it. I was just waiting upon the Lord to see what he wanted me to do. And to my surprise, today, when I took quiet time, I went out in the realm of the Spirit. And when I came back out, guess what? I had a vision. And I saw it, and I said, Lord, you want that on the altar? And he said, yes. And all I could get out of it was, we, like the birds, are going to be, let's say, sometimes caught. And sometimes we do get caught. But we will definitely be released. And so if you'll go to Psalms 91, it says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrows that fly by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plagues that destroy at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. Did you hear that? See the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra, and you will trample the great lion and the serpent, because he loves me, says the Lord. I will rescue him. Did you hear that? Because he loves me. That's the condition. Do you love the Lord? Absolutely. Well, you've already qualified. I will rescue him. I will protect him. For he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now, of course, when you are actually like a bird, okay, escaping the fowler's nest, that's what was net. See, the enemy would love to be able to capture you and hold you. In my experience, he usually catches me, and I find that I ruffle some feathers sometimes because I escape. What do I escape to? Back to the nest. Back to the place of comfort, back to the tree of life. Why? Because that's where I feed. You and I, that's what it meant to me. And of course, today we realize that these were little cardinals. And that's kind of neat, you know, they're kind of special. I don't fully know what cardinals mean in the realm of the spirit, but I know that that meant that the Lord was trying to tell us we're free. We're free to fly. We're free to obey. We are covered, because the cardinals are red. And so they are covered with the blood. And knowing him, knowing the one that has already chosen to die for me and to give me an understanding of his feasts is really what this season is all about. Now, those of you who have an internet, I would recommend that you check out Paul Keith Davis, God Tabernacles in His Bride, A Time of Acceleration. It says fruitfulness and favor. And of course, this came September 27th. And I was truly blessed, because there were many, many things in here that really represent what God has done for me. But one of the things that I know that I lacked back in the early 80s was an understanding of these feasts. And somebody came into my life named Royal Cronquist, drove me cuckoo. He drove me cuckoo because he had a revelation of the feasts. This man, Paul Keith, says the Lord spoke to him extensively in 1994 about the importance of tabernacles in the midst of an extended fast. November 14th, now 14 years later, I am seeing many of the things spoken of at that time poised for fulfillment. That's the trigger. Poised for fulfillment. The very first year that I celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles was in 1988. And previously to that, I had never really set time aside because there was always a bunch of excuses in my head. Probably not with God. But he took me where I was. And he didn't make it a legal thing. He made it an obedience thing, where I came to him with an understanding that I definitely needed to take quality time, because it was God's season of transition. It was God's season of change that he wanted to bring into my heart. And it's not a political change, even though I'm sure politics takes sometimes a rap as well. And of course, we've seen how many people are being pushed right now and shoved in order to do something that they believe they're going to do. But I will remind you that the Lord showed a vision just a few days back, of the Lord himself blowing on our nation. Who had the vision? Do you remember? It was you, Peggy. Could you repeat it, please? It was the globe. Correct.
And I saw him blowing on the globe, that it was spinning.
And it was spinning.
It did have a word with it.
If you find it, let us know. What I remember in my heart that came was that he was blowing on it in order to just let us know that he was in the control room. And when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, the wind came. And it did shake all of Israel. The byproduct was Pentecost was now something that was just not a personal thing for 144 people, for 120 people, I'm sorry, that it spread. And it went to the north, south, east, and west, and it affected the whole world. So, you know, we are in the covenant that God has already promised that these feasts that are now coming upon us, the Day of Atonement, it's a holy day unto the Lord. It's a time now for the next few days to fast and to pray. Now, fasting is not always food. Okay? In fact, there was a wonderful gentleman on the internet that said he was told by the Lord to fast his thoughts. Which is quite a cool idea. Your thoughts that take you into the wrong place or make you do certain things, maybe you can just give them up and do something different. Do something that will get you closer to God. Take a little more time with the Lord. Take some quality time to worship him and to sing and praise and worship all of the days of your life. Why? First thing in the morning. I remember when God began to do me in by my laziness of the morning. I would give him my best at night. And guess what? My best at night was not my best. It was my leftovers. He'd let me know of that. So, three times a year, the Israelites were required to gather in Jerusalem to observe the feasts of the Lord, Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles, were each built around the harvest cycle. In them, there is considerable prophetic insight to help identify where we are in history and what God's people ought to be doing. Also, you shall observe the feast of harvest of the first fruits of your labor, etc. Exodus 23. And then the feast of the first month was Passover. The second feast, obviously, is the feast of unleavened bread. The third feast is the feast of first fruit, all at the Passover season. The next level comes from the feast on the third month, which is Pentecost, and it's the feast of weeks, with an S. The seventh month, which is what we're starting now, this is the beginning of the new year, it's called Tabernacles, and it consists of three feasts, the Feast of Trumpets, Day of Atonement, and then the Feast of Tabernacles, which will last for 7 days. The application of the blood. In Passover, the blood was sprinkled on the door, or upon the door. In Pentecost, the blood was sprinkled on the people and the covenant book, which is awesome. In the tabernacle, the blood was sprinkled 7 times, guess where? The mercy seat. Why? Because the only way you're going to conquer all your weaknesses is through his mercy. You can do your works program till the cows come home and you find that you're the same struggle next year. Amen? So if you're going to depend on his mercy to pick up the pieces and transform you as you confess who you are, when you confess who you are and what the Bible says about you, rather than what you think about yourself, what's going to happen? You're going to change. If you declare yourself not guilty because of the blood, what happens to you? How many find that you have a shattering going on every time you declare something like that? I'm not guilty because of the blood of Jesus Christ. There's usually a stirring that starts up because the enemy already, and the weaknesses within you, already are going to try to activate and say, yeah, but what did you do last week? How did you react when so-and-so called and you didn't answer? Or blah, 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 right? Did you react my way or did you react out of your flesh? Well, sometimes you might be acting in his, but sometimes you're acting out of your flesh. God was showing me my impatience last night. Somebody came into my room when I was trying to concentrate on something, and it was important to me. It was a godly thing, but their disturbance was also a godly thing. And I got, I didn't respond, but you know what? It wasn't a good feeling. And the inside of my head was saying, oh God, here we go again. Every time I try to listen to something important, okay? And my anger was starting to what? Rise a little bit. And I said, no. And I had some ugly thoughts that came in. Ugly thoughts. Not very pretty. And I said, Lord, this isn't you. He says, are you passing the test with a smile? And you know what? It was a fake smile. It was a fake smile. It wasn't the godly smile that I should have had. It was a fake smile. And I repented. And after the person left, I said, Lord, forgive me for impatience. Forgive me for not giving that person quality time. Why? Because it wasn't being like Jesus. Okay? I was being selfish. And I know it. And I confessed it. And I'm telling you now, I'm not going to be selfish in this new year. Look at your neighbor. Say, I'm not going to be selfish in this new year. Oh, did you get this guy's confession? Kim's not going to be selfish this year. Well, praise God. At least we got one down. I don't know about the others. They're under construction, right? Here we go. Spiritual Israel. Clearly the Lord's church is spiritual Israel. What happens to natural Israel historically provides a type and shadow of what is to take place during the church ages. First the natural, then the spiritual. Amen? The apostle made this profoundly clear in 1 Corinthians 10:11 and 1 Corinthians 15, verse 46, saying, now all these things happened to them, Israel, as examples, and they were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the ages have come. So in other words, if there's a shadow in front of you, it's because there's a real substance causing the shadow. Yes? So if you and I are looking at the Old Covenant as something substantial and very real that they did, there has to be something spiritual behind it for us. And those feasts are designed for us to wake up, to see greater depth of his love, of his compassion, and of his plan to make us like him, and to have him inhabit us completely. Amen? Okay. Now, all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our understanding. However, the spiritual is not first, the natural, then the spiritual. Each of the three feasts also be experientially revealed in and through God's people. There is an abundance of historical evidence from the New Testament that affirms two of the three annual feasts, and the Lord have been fulfilled in Christ and his church. Now we stand on the brink of the fulfillment of the last feast that will usher in the Lord's return. This is the feast of the seventh month, or the Feast of Ingathering and Tabernacles, the end of the age. We live in the days of the final harvest. Jesus said the end of the age is the harvest. And during that season, he would send angels that gather. And that's the book that the Lord had this man write, which I read a year ago. And out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and everything offensive, so that the righteous would shine like the sun in the kingdom of our Father. Matthew 13, verses 41 through 43. This will be the unveiling of the sons of God. Did you hear that? This will be the unveiling of the sons of God, who will exhibit a power and glory not yet seen in the church history. Now that's awesome. It will be the Lord Jesus' tabernacle in his bride and demonstrate his kingdom and his divine nature. There are ever-increasing heights of truth and glory that are to be appropriated in these last days. It is upon this prize that we fix our hope and expectations for the full revelation of who he is and what he is able to do through us as a result of the cross. The Feast of Tabernacles is also called or known as the Feast of Rest. And to make that short, I'd like you to just look at Hebrews 4, verse 9 through 11. The Spirit's anointing that comes upon the Old Testament prophets rested for a season until God's mandate was complete, and then it lifted. In the ministry of the Lord Jesus, the Spirit remained and tabernacled in the Son of God. The Bible declares that the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit descended as the appearance of a dove. He wasn't a dove, as the appearance of a dove, and remain. This is our promise as well. Just as he was sent, so also we will be sent. Are you catching on? It's intense when you realize that God is really saying, get ready, this feast has not been accomplished in the church, experientially. We wish to see Jesus. And it goes on to John chapter 12. I'd also like to take you to the Lord's prophesied in Matthew 13, that at the end of the age will be the harvest and the wheat sown into the earth, which is really the sons of the kingdom. This reality can only be achieved when the Lord's Spirit is fully manifested and tabernacled in his bridal company doing greater works. Then this generation will see Jesus in a real and tangible way. This will bring in the fullness of the Gentiles as promised by the Apostle Paul in Romans 11. Leaven free, which means sin free. When the Lord discovered his rest in us, we will then discover our promised rest from the toils and labors that make us weary emotionally and spiritually. It is in this season that we will be most fruitful. Pentecost is the only feast that allowed leaven. Leaven is a symbol of false teaching, religiosity, and mixture. The Lord once said, if I can find a people without mixture, I will release my spirit without measure. That is what lies immediately before us. I don't want to go any further, because I believe the next level will come at another time. I believe that the Holy Spirit wants you and I to be prepared for that Day of Atonement by really being obedient to the Holy Ghost. So I would ask you to search your heart tonight. Before you go to bed, put a paper and pencil close by. If he gives you instructions in the morning, which is usually how he works with me, do it. He may question you. He may give you an instruction. He may give you something. He may give you a dream, a vision, or whatever. But obey. Just obey. It may not be complicated. It may be something very, very simple. Just obey. Do it. Just do it. And I believe that this feast will be awesome indeed. That's my heart for you. Close your eyes, please. Father, these words came, I believe, to release a new awareness of your protection. A new awareness that you are in the control room. Not only of our nation, but of the finances that you have imparted to us. Not only for this season where people are trying to get elected. Lord Jesus, you and you alone know why this feast comes at harvest time. You know the reason for all things. And I believe with them that we'll see a harvest in our families, a harvest of salvation, a harvest of victories, and a harvest of peace.